This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final hour here on Prime Time. Matt Brown and Mike Somich as we continue to roll through each and every one of these NFL games. Give you our quick thoughts. Of course, full previews are coming to you here on Saturday. This hour is brought to you by Better. You can go ahead and turn your sports knowledge into real cash. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where that happens. Download Better or visit better.app today. Sign up today and get a free $10, no deposit required. Mike, we will return to the games after we talk a little bit about our power ratings, which we are in agreement on the top four, which we've never done before. Rams, Seahawks, Bills, Texans, 1-4 for both of us. You did go ahead and flip-flop the Rams and Seahawks. I had a feeling you would. We kind of talked about it when we were in here on Sunday. There's just too much of this lull nonsense from the Seahawks offense on a regular basis to keep them in that one spot. But the defense is so good that you can't really drop them below two. So, like you said earlier in the show, probably everyone's ratings at this point are Rams Seahawks. I think it's pretty consensus Rams 1, pretty consensus Seahawks 2, and then you can kind of go elsewhere after that. But that's I feel good about Rams Seahawks. I actually feel good about Rams Seahawks Bills Texans. I actually feel good about the top four right now.
Yeah, I think you had to flip. Personally, me, I should say. I think I had to flip that Rams and Seahawks on the top there. The Seahawks offense, look, I rate offense more heavily than defense when I do these power ratings. And the Rams just look like a truck on offense right now. I mean, it's every single week that you get Corum going, you get Williams going, it's Nacua, it's Parkinson. Everybody on that offense able to consistently be able to help move the football. And then you've got Sean McVay pulling the strings. I like the Seattle defense more, but I have offense rated higher, or I have offense more as a heavier weighting in my rating than I do defense. And that pushed the Rams over the top as I kept upgrading the Rams offense and upgrading the Rams offense. That made it harder for me to justify having this Seattle team sitting there in second. It's kind of similar with the Bills and the Texans sitting at 3-4 too. Like, I love the Texans defense.
Yep.
The Bills offense is just a lot better than the Texans offense. And despite the Texans defense being a lot better than the Bills, when this league that we are covering, the offense has to be more heavily put into your power rating. So Bills were at 3, Texans at 4. And I'm pretty confident, like, the Texans are the second most likely team to come out of the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly rounding into form right now on the offensive side. Now, as soon as we say that, it's only Wednesday. Woody Marks did not practice today for this team. We have talked at length about what we thought, what a spark he has been since they turned away from Nick Chubb and turned to him. Still plenty of time for him to get okay and play in this one, but it is something to monitor, because I do think in a weird way he matters, because really when they made that turn to him, Mike, and it was kind of like where they kind of rejiggered the offense, is really when this team started to be real again, right? Because they were fake there for a while. Couldn't do anything at all on the ground. Stroud had no time to pass. And you saw it in the production on the offensive side. And kind of like they go, okay, we're going to hand it over to the rookie. We're going to make some tweaks. We're going to do some different things. And then started to look more like an NFL offense. And so I will actually monitor this. It's not like they're going to lose. They're huge favorites this week. But certainly if this is a multi-week deal with Marks, I think that is concerning.
Yeah, bingo. That like this week, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's Marks, if it's Jordan, if it's Chubb, whoever's in the backfield, they're going to blow out the Raiders. But the best version of this Texans offense includes Woody Marks in the backfield. And so you do need to get him back at some point. I don't think they need him for the rest of the season. I think they can beat the Chargers without him. I think that they can beat the Raiders without him. And they close the season with the Colts. I think they'd be the Colts without him as well. So I'm not sure how important he is immediately. It's when we get to the playoffs, having inarguably your most explosive person in your backfield, although Johnson did have a 50-yard run last week. But Woody Marks feels like the dude. You kind of need him to be able to go if this Texas team is going to go far.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, Bills, what can we say? I mean, we just talked about Josh Allen a second ago. If you have the guy that is playing probably, and this is no offense to Matthew Stafford. Look, I hope he wins. I have a 51 ticket on it. But the guy probably playing the best in the NFL right now is probably Josh Allen. And so it's like when you got that dude taking the snaps, I'm bought in, man. I really, really am. I know there will probably be a time where they don't look great. We've seen this offense certainly sputter here and there at times, but boy, when he does his thing, it is awesome to watch.
It is very, very awesome to watch. And this is going to be a really fascinating year for Josh Allen. And just from not to go to all sports talk radio, but from a legacy perspective, yeah. Your other playoff quarterbacks are going to be Drake May, Aaron Rodgers, Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud, Bo Nix, Justin Herbert.
You're right.
You're not going to have
no Mahomes, probably no Lamar, probably, you know, yeah.
No Burrow.
Yeah. Burrow.
This is the year, man. If you don't do it this year, when are you going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
This is you have the weakest possible AFC quarterback class that you could draw going to the playoffs around Josh Allen. Like, you got to put the cape on in the playoffs, man. Like, this is going to be a fascinating legacy playoff run for Josh Allen.
Yeah, just fantastic. We have the Texans. We don't really have to explain that to you. It's the same handicap. It's the same reason we talk about the Texans every week. Defense is just absurd. Completely, completely absurd. You get Stingley out there, which, by the way, he actually missed practice today, too. But that's something, like you said, it's not going to matter this week. But, you know, it's
keep an eye on
it. Stuff to keep an eye on for sure. To go along with what they get with the front four, just really, really good. So the only difference we have this week, and it was tough for me at 5. Like, I felt good about 1-4. I don't know if you felt good about all 5 of yours. I didn't. I went Eagles. You went Packers. I almost have virtually no difference between the Eagles and the Broncos. I have the Packers, like, a little bit below that, but not much. They're kind of all interchangeable there at 5 for me. I like the top 4 better than I like that next tier for sure. So I don't know. Was it an easy type out for you to type the Packers, or were there other teams in consideration?
It was fairly easy for me.
Okay.
But I also had the Packers 2 on this list last week. So I dropped them fairly heavily because of the loss of Parsons and then not knowing what's going on with Christian Watson. I do think that the overwhelming sentiment that their season is just over is incorrect. I think this is still a very talented football team. They need to figure out how to get to the quarterback, how to rush the passer now, because they don't have any type of pass rush without Micah Parsons. So you're going to have to start blitzing if you're going to want to be able to get to the quarterback. That's going to create more stress on your secondary. But this is, I mean, I have them now ranked as the 17th best defense in the NFL. That's not something that's like that you can overcome that and still be able to make a deep playoff run. So for me, I don't think that it's just like just drop the Packers out of it. I think the Packers are still a player when you get to the NFC. It just makes it a lot more difficult because Parsons was the closer. He was the pass rush. He had like most pressures of any player this year in the NFL. He was incredibly important to this defense, but I don't think they need to drop out of your top 10. And I hear people like having them at 12 and 13. And I'm like, that's crazy. This is still a very good football team.
Yeah. The tough ones here though, I think for maybe not you, but for me, I mean, what do I do with the Broncos? What do I do with the Jags? I mean, like we're 15 weeks into the season. Like, we can't sit here and be like, well, they're not, I don't believe in these teams. It was like, no, the sample size is over. I mean, the season's over. I can't deny what is happening out on the field anymore, you know?
Honestly, the Broncos for me are the toughest.
Yeah.
Because the Broncos defense has been middling the last month. And Bo Nix was awesome against the Packers last Sunday. That was the best game he has played as a pro. So for me, that one's the most difficult one. Because if this defense gets back to the level it was playing at early in the season and Bo Nix continues the level on the offensive side they've been playing at the last 4 weeks, Denver might be the best team in football. I don't believe that, but I could make a numeric argument as to why Denver needs to be in the top 5 if these factors are all true. We'll see if that plays out in that manner. I still don't fully trust Bo Nix. I believe the version I have seen for a year and a half more than the one I have seen for a month. But that at least has to start being discussed, especially if they're the one seed in the AFC and everything goes through Denver.
And you talk about how their defense has kind of fallen off a little bit. Then on the flip side, second to only Seattle since week 10 is the Jags. And like, yep. You can point at the schedule all you want to, but like a lot of these advanced metrics take into account opponent. You can filter out, which I've done. You can filter out garbage time and all of that stuff and things like that. I mean, it's just, the numbers bear out, right? And again, you can nitpick all you want and all that, but like the defense is solid. The defense is solid. And I think Liam Cohen has this offense kind of trending in the right direction too. I mean, the Jags were tough for me. The Broncos were tough for me.
The Jacoby Myers acquisition is huge for the Jaguars team. Trevor Lawrence's EPA has skyrocketed since you added Jacoby Myers. That has been a huge difference for this team because he is a good route runner who catches the football. Cohen is able to use him in a bunch of different ways. Like I'm starting to come around a little bit on the Jags because of Jacoby Myers. Now, this is going to be an interesting test for them. They played the Jets last week. Let's chill a little bit on any team beating the Jets, right? Let's see what they do up in Denver. Let's see how this Denver defense is able to handle this stable of wide receivers for Jacksonville and the run game, because if we're going to give Ben Johnson all this credit for a unique and interesting run game in Chicago, you have to give Liam Cohen the same credit down there in Jacksonville.
Yeah, you can only play the people in front of you. Trevor Lawrence, the last 3 weeks, first in Pro Football Focus's grading. He is first in EPA per play. He has 9 big-time throws to 0 turnover-worthy plays. Just all of those things. Again, you can only play the teams in front of you. That's what he's been able to do. Guys, if you think you know sports, time to get paid for it. You do that over at Better Pick, more or less on your favorite player stats. And when those picks hit, you win. When you go in, get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. And when you do deposit, 50% deposit match up to $200. Better.app, that is BETR.app, or download the Better app in your app store of choice.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Green Bay Packers going to be on the road at the Chicago Bears. Stuff coming through here. The Bears are exploring changing their stadium plans, including moving the team and building in Northwest Indiana. The president and CEO, Kevin Warren, wrote in a letter to fans today.
Yeah, they lie about this like every 5 years to try and get more tax money. They did it. That's why Arlington Park is closed, because they said they were going to build a stadium at Arlington Park in Chicago. Never happened. They got money from the taxpayers. They added to Soldier Field. If you can't tell, I'm bitter, because they used Arlington Park, which is a phenomenal racetrack, as a bargaining chip to be able to get taxpayer money to stay in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, it is. So what you're saying is you do not believe that they will leave.
No. Chicago. No, they're trying to gain leverage so that they can get more money from the state to be able to upgrade the stadium.
So the Green Bay Packers, obviously terrible news in losing Micah Parsons. That said, as we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, some surprising news to me for sure. Christian Watson, not only back practicing, but said after practice today, he's planning on playing, which I didn't think whenever he's called a chest injury and unable to return in the game this past week. And so here we are sitting. You can find both teams as 1.5 favorites, and you can also find them at a pick out here behind me, Mike Somich. 46.5 is the prevailing total. What do you think about Green Bay heading on the road to Chicago?
This is one of those where it's tough for me, because my numbers say have a slight edge to the Packers over a pick, or if I can get 1.5, it's a small edge. So I would lean toward Green Bay at that close number, but what I actually like the most here is a Bears teaser. I don't see Green Bay blowing the Bears out. I think there is a world where we see a lackluster effort from Green Bay on the road here, especially considering the spot for Green Bay. Green Bay had to play at Detroit, take on Chicago at home, go to Denver. Now you go to Chicago. That is a very rough 4-game stretch, especially against good opponents in each of those games. You're now playing Chicago for the second time in 3 weeks. You beat them once. You would assume Chicago going to play well. I thought Chicago played well in the first game. Now you have no Parsons for Green Bay. I like the Chicago teaser side of this. Take them from 1.5 up to 7.5.
This is super interesting, because even with Micah Parsons, since week 10, this Green Bay defense is 17th in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking bottom half defense with one of the biggest disruptors there is. Now without, you have to wonder, could this kind of revamped Bears offense be able to take advantage of that and exploit it? I mean, if Caleb Williams doesn't feel a ton of pressure and does stupid Caleb Williams things, like, I don't know. This is the most fascinating game of the week to me, for sure. Like to see how does Green Bay respond to the adversity, and hey, Bears, you're at home. You get the Packers coming in, like, feeling down. You could sit there and you could stomp on their throat. You know, can you do it? I mean, this is a very, I mean, the Bears, by the way, the Bears defense, much maligned Bears defense, we made fun of them a ton. Since week 10, ninth overall. So they have actually had a significantly better defense than the Packers have over the last, you know, whatever that is, 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I think you have to keep an eye on Adunze and Burden as well. Both of them questionable for this game. They are two important pieces on this offense. We saw DJ Moore have a big game last week. Loveland obviously giving him more out of the tight end position. But I Burden specifically, he has been picking up where Adunze kind of left off after streaking early in the season. Burden's been taking on a lot of that weight and playing very good football. You got to keep an eye on the injury report on both of those wide receivers, because I do think they make a difference as well for this Bears team.
New Orleans is hosting the Jets. They are 4.5-point favorites. And yes, it is a battle of rookie quarterbacks, but the Saints are the ones that are the 4.5-point favorites here as the Jets come to town. Cook going to start again for the Jets. Going to be without Neal and Kamara, it looks like, as there was a note here as we were on air that it might be Nyheim Hines going for New Orleans in this one, which is fairly interesting. Great for you people that have to start Nyheim Hines in your fantasy, you know, playoffs this week. Yeah, good for you on that one. But, you know, we keep talking about what's been going on. What have you done for me lately, right? I like to go to week, you know, past the midpoint of the season. Like, what have you done for me lately? Saints defense, Mike. Sixth overall in the NFL. The Saints.
Saints alts, baby. I'm on the Tyler Shuck train. I like the Saints team. I already laid them at a better number than what's currently available. I would still lay them at 4.5. I have them sitting as a 5.5-point favorite when I make my numbers in this game. So I like the Saints side. I think you could play Saints alts if you wanted to get really kooky with it here. Play them up to minus 14.5, where you're just saying, hey, this Jets team gets blown out by everybody. This is going to be a good game for Chris Olave, and Shuck should be able to throw the football down the field. And you've got Juwan Johnson who can move the football at tight end position. And then this defense, which you referenced, playing good football right now against a bad offense and Brady Cook. Like, why not the Saints, Matt? Why not a 14 or 17 point win here?
So the other thing in this, and players are always going to play hard, but the front office can do whatever they want to. Like, Cook is starting. They know what they're doing by starting Cook. Jets currently sitting at 3-11. They're in the fifth slot right now in the draft. However, as we referenced last week, the Giants and Vegas play each other. So somebody has to win. I mean, I guess not really. You can tie. But, like, somebody has to win that game. So one of those teams are going to fall down. The Jets still have a chance to have a top three pick in the draft. And so, again, it just doesn't behoove them to win this game. Like, it just doesn't.
No, it doesn't. They're also just a mess.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be honest. Like, this is a Jets team that's just, it's a walking train wreck at this point. They got blown out by the Dolphins. They somehow beat the Falcons, got blown out by the Ravens, got blown out by the Patriots before that. They got destroyed by the Jags last week. It's just a bad football team that's not playing very hard. And when you combine those two things, it is hard for them to win. Instead, they just lose by margin every week. I think the Saints can beat them by margin.
The Vikings are on the road at the Giants. They're going to go in as juice 2.5 or 3-point favorites over the Giants. 43.5 is our total. The weirdest team there is to me, this Viking. I don't know what to do. I mean, seriously, I don't know what to do with this Vikings team. You're going to have to tell me, is JJ McCarthy any good? Is he good? Is he bad? Is he somewhere in between? Do we even have an idea what he is? Like, I don't know. This is just, we're entering week 16. And if somebody said, what team do you have the least firm grasp on? I would say the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, it's what quarterback do you have the least firm grasp on, right? Because JJ McCarthy, like, I get this defense. It's a good blitz happy defense that get beat for big plays every now and then. They're going to change coverages. They're going to try and confuse quarterbacks. They're going to have some success doing that. You look at JJ McCarthy and, like, he moves this offense. If he plays well, you have the weapons to be able to move the football. If he doesn't play well, You're not going to move the football. It's really comes down to what J.J. McCarthy you're going to get. He played well a couple weeks ago. I thought he was fine last week. Who knows what type of J.J. McCarthy we're going to get this week. I kind of am tempted to play the over, because if the Giants have success against this Vikings defense, I think J.J. McCarthy and this Vikings offense can have success against the Giants defense. It's the 31st ranked defense since week number nine, so not very good stopping the run or the pass. So the question to me is, do you think the Giants have success on offense? If so, over 43.5 for me.
The Vikings basically never play man defense, like, because they blitz so much, they have to stay in zone or whatever. And so it's just like, it's you're going to get Jackson Dart, you know, with windows. It's just, can he hit the windows? Is he going to even have time to hit the windows? You know, so it's just, I don't know. It's very, very interesting from that aspect as well.
What do you think of Dart rushing here against this defense? Not currently listed on the board. His long run is 12.5. I kind of like the over 12.5 for long run. It feels like he gets loose at least once in this game.
Yeah, maybe so. I really like the only problem with doing it against the Vikings. I understand they blitz a ton. It's just like they never play man. So like they're always facing right. The quarterback. Like their back is never turned. And so it's just it's a tough one there on that. But man, this is the game I rock it into the sun. So, you know, I have absolutely absolutely no clue.
The long pause, Matt Brown tells you what he feels about the game. Like, rarely do you get the long pauses from Matt Brown.
If you want to bet smarter this holiday season, we got the gift for you guys. Yes, you can come become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Everything we do, it's a holiday special. Everything we do now to May the 1st for just $79. So go in. We got the betting splits page. We know you love that thing. We got the AI-driven prop projections for the NFL and for the NBA now. We go in, we break down every single thing going on in the sports world with daily articles. Talked about Greg and his college basketball stuff. I mean, come on, that's worth the $79 just right there. So go in, don't miss this limited time holiday special, VSiN.com/subscribe. Every single thing that we do now until May the 1st for just $79. And that also includes that college football betting guide that we have out there as well. So please take advantage of that. Go in, it's just $79 now to May the 1st. And it's worth it on the day-to-day basis anyway. I mean, seriously, you're not handicapping tennis. You didn't know Radford was a city. Greg Peterson did. So these are the things that you're paying for. Continue rolling through the NFL when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Primetime here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. I'm sitting here in the world's largest sports book. Got some people out there. Just people watching the Delaware ooh la la game. 17-3, by the way.
There you go.
Currently, Delaware over ooh la la. It is 11:24 left in the third quarter in that one. I know everyone is just loving this. What was the name of the bowl? It was
Blue Hens, right? Oh, the name of the bowl.
Something with a number.
Something. 68
yeah, Ventures. Venture.
Okay. Yeah.
Venture 68 or something. Yeah.
A lot of history with this bowl.
Man, it's tough for me, man. It's just these.
Oh, go in the drink, Scotty.
Oh, did he?
Oh, it stopped on the wood.
So they both were terrible out of the bunker? Oh, no.
No,
Scotty put
it
5 foot. So, oh, that was from the crowd.
Look at that. Yeah.
Okay.
We're watching a unique golf challenge where you have these different styles of shots. So it's closest to the pin. One of them is from the crowd, and Scotty just stopped it on a wood board. Probably not going to be enough, as Rory looks like he just barely made the fringe. I think no one gets a point for that. But Matt and I may have some appetizers wagered on this.
Yeah.
Right now, Team Rory looking like the right side. Just saying.
Oh, neither one of them hit the green from the crowd. Brutal.
Ball in the drink. Oh, it hit the little. Oh, it just checked. It checked on the wood, Matt.
Yeah.
That would have been -1. That would have done it.
That would have locked that one up for you. I'm still alive. I'm alive to.
You got to sweep.
Yeah,
got sweep to push.
Could the contest just end in a push? Because I think he's up a couple of – yeah, we'll have to figure it out. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Tampa Bay is on the road at Carolina. Yeah, huge, massive, monstrous game in Week 16 between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. This is three in favor of the Bucs. On the road, 45.5 to 46, the total out there. In this one, Carolina failed to take advantage of the opportunity that they had last week with the Bucs losing. So instead, this game means even more than it would have already.
Do you think we get a 2.5? Because I like the Bucs in this game. I think that the impassioned speech we saw after the game last week, not impassioned, but profanity-laden speech we saw after the game at the podium is going to help inspire this Bucs team. I like how the offense getting healthy at the right time. I think they move the football against the Panthers. I just want to know if I'm going to get that 2.5 in my account or if I have to settle for the 3, Matt.
Is it one of those things where with Tampa, you think it has to swing a little bit? I mean, it's one of the things where, like, I guess we just, you and I, having watched Baker for as long as we have and what he's doing at the beginning of the season as well, can he possibly play this bad for the rest of the season, I guess is the question.
That's the thing. Like, he should be getting healthier theoretically each week that he plays, right? Theoretically,
yeah. Right.
Should be getting better. You've got Mike Evans back. You've got McMillan back, which helps with Ibuka, who I thought looked the best he had in weeks when you inserted those two players back, because all of a sudden there wasn't as much on his shoulders. Godwin's still running around playing good football there for him. You've got Bucky Irving back. You would expect you're going to get good Baker here soon. We'll see if we get it this week, but I trust Baker Mayfield and this set of offensive weapons exponentially more than Bryce Young and the offensive weapons on the Panthers side. And the defenses are, in my mind, 6-1, half a dozen of the other.
It's like you forgave them for the Patriots and the Bills and the Rams losses coming out of the bye, because you're like, oh, okay, those three teams. And as the season has progressed, we know those three teams are awesome. But then it's a struggle to beat the Cardinals and then outright losses to the Saints and Falcons. So there is definitely real concern around this team, even as they go into a Panthers team that just failed to take advantage of the most golden opportunity ever last week.
Yeah, I still don't believe the Panthers are that good. It feels like the Panthers have caught breaks multiple times this year, and maybe they're just good at playing close games. We've seen teams be able to do this before. Washington comes to mind last year, a team that felt like they won a bunch of close games, but they won 27-24 to the Dolphins. They won 30-27 against the Cowboys, 30-27 against the Falcons, 16-13 against the Packers, 13-6 against the Jets, 31-28 to the Rams. Like a bunch of these close wins against teams that are either really bad, like the Dolphins, like the Falcons, like the Jets, or good, like the Packers or the Rams. I just don't think that they can kind of keep the juju going that they've had consistently going. And again, when I grade these two teams out, big edge offensively for the Bucs, basically a push on the defensive side from how I have these two defenses rated. I end up with the Bucs here. And I, like I said, I want a 2.5. I'm holding out hope I get it. We got a juice 3 toward the Panthers right now. We'll see if I get the 2.5 on the Bucs.
The Chiefs are on the road at the Titans in a Week 16 game as 3-point favorites. It is 37.5 on the total. We all know Patrick Mahomes goes under the knife. Hopes to be back for Week 1, by the way, there for the Chiefs. But so in steps Gardner Minshew, who has ample starting experience in the NFL. So this is not a Cook situation for the Jets or anything. They're going on the road, Mike, against the worst team in the NFL. By the way, this was supposed to be my, if I was still in Survivor, this was supposed to be my play this week. So that'd have been fun.
How you doing?
Yeah, that'd have been fun. They still... I really want to lay the 3, and I haven't.
What?
They're still better than this Tennessee team, even with Gardner Minshew at quarterback.
What is the mental state of this Kansas City Chiefs football team?
There is that.
This is the first time in 8 years they're playing a meaningless football game. Like, how is Chris Jones going to react to this on the defensive line? How's Travis Kelce, who, when he was on the New Heights podcast, said the Chiefs will have to figure out the Mahomes thing, not we, right? Mm-hmm. He's checked out. How is Rashee Rice going to handle this after he got lit up week after week? What are we going to get? I don't know what we get from the Chiefs. No idea. And I would expect you still get a good effort because it's Andy Reid, it's Spagnuolo. They're going to do their best. I don't know how these players are going to react, though. I cannot rate the Chiefs as currently constructed coming off of that game, and it would be Titans or pass for me because of it. I would lean into the chaos. Take the Titans money line, right? Play the over at 37.5. That's way too low if you get a no effort from this Chiefs defense. So to me, it's over or the Titans money line or pass.
The Chargers are on the road at the Cowboys as 2.5-point dogs. 49.5 is our total here in this one. Dallas fooled us all, tried to make us think they were good. That's not the case. So good on you. Y'all win. You fooled me. That offensive line composite that I was talking about, Mike, where we go in and we looked at PFF and SIS and ESPN, we add them all together. Whenever you do that, you know what you come up with? The Chargers dead last in the NFL. Worst offensive line by a mile. Is that going to matter here against the Cowboys?
Probably not. Right? I mean, because it's like the Cowboys trade away all their ability to rush the passer. They can stop the run, so maybe the Chargers don't have a ton of success running, but there's that guy named Justin Herbert who has four legitimate weapons that he can throw to that make me believe that this is a spot where the Chargers are able to put up points. How much their defense can stop the Cowboys, to me, that's the bigger question mark here. I think that Herbert has a good day. I think that you're going to see offense from the Chargers side. The Cowboys offense is the question mark. I like the Chargers here. I like the Chargers as a teaser leg here. And if you believe the Cowboys can score, I think the over is the play because I do think the Chargers score.
We keep going back to that arbitrary week, and I actually did explain why I go back to week 10. I like to get a little bit further than the halfway point of the season whenever I do this. Chargers, the fourth overall defense in the NFL since week 10. So it is being backed up by the numbers, right, is what you're seeing with our eyes, is getting backed up by the numbers. It's just – there is always that concern, right, where Herbert, it's very hard for you to escape that scene in your brain where he's just running for his life every single time that he takes a snap. And it is the worst offensive line. These are three different grading systems, three different places. It's the worst one by a mile.
Yes, it is. It is not even close. Yeah. Now, I will say this. Should be a good day for CeeDee Lamb. This is a zone-heavy defense. Pickens has been the man guy, CeeDee Lamb the zone guy. If you're choosing between the two, I'd play props with Lamb, not Pickens.
All right, guys, if you think you know sports, get paid for it with Better Picks, daily fantasy sports app. We're turning your sports knowledge into real cash. Go in, download Better, B-E-T-R, more or less on your favorite player stats, and if your picks hit, you win. Now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. You do not even need to deposit, but when you do deposit, we're going to give you a 50% match up to $200. All the sports are in over there, NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. Better.app or download the Better app today. Use promo code VSIN for your free $10 and that deposit bonus.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Primetime here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich rolling through the early thoughts here on these NFL games, power ratings, all the different things out there. 20-3, by the way, if you were back in Delaware. The Blue Hens on the money line looking good right now.
They are looking good. We have some breaking news.
Oh boy.
In Survivor Land. Matt,
yes,
Brown.
Yes, yes. If we believe these people.
It looks like we will have a Saints entry, as the entry Brad Lee has mentioned in a Discord that they are planning on taking the Saints. So we'll have to see if we believe them.
Yes.
I mentioned I don't mind that Saints click. I actually like that Saints click. We'll see if Brad Lee ends up on the Saints here in Circa Survivor. This is where the gamesmanship actually matters. Last week, it was a joke. It was a joke. Let's be honest. Everyone knew everyone was taking the 10-point favorites. This week, not everyone has those options. And so it's going to be interesting to see where those final four entries, which are, to me, have the tougher clicks, where they decide to go. Looks like one might be on the Saints.
All right, Mike, we've got the Cincinnati Bengals on the road at the Miami Dolphins. They are 4.5-point favorites. As we know, Miami has benched Tua. Zach Wilson, by the way, is disappointed and confused as to why he's not starting. Because of your body of work?
I mean, like, we like, know what you are?
It's like, because of your body of work? I mean, I guess.
Because Quinn Ewers is a wild card.
Yeah.
You stink at football. That's why.
Like, I mean, Quinn Ewers, to be fair, Quinn Ewers, and you and I are draft Knicks, Quinn Ewers at one point was mentioned as a potential number one overall draft pick in the draft. Like, I mean, again, it didn't manifest on the field in college, but I mean, he was in the discussion preseason to maybe be the number one overall pick. Joe Burrow gets badgered today at his press conference about, whether he wants to be in Cincinnati anymore or not. So there's all of that that's still going on. 4.5 for Cincinnati on the road at Miami. What say you?
Man, I kind of want to play the over because these defenses, like, I think Cincinnati able to move the football at will. The Cincinnati defense doesn't mind giving up big run plays. Feels like Miami's going to be focused on running the football, being able to try and see what they can do with the ground game, and then using play action off of that for Quinn Ewers to get going. I'm not going to bet this game. I'm going to shoot this one in the sun, Matt. I get why people want to play the Bengals. That defense still stinks. I think there is at least a little juice inside this Miami offense still. I think that Pittsburgh game, people watch that, and they're like, well, this is the worst version of the Dolphins. This is what we're going to see moving forward. Look, they looked lifeless in that game against Pittsburgh because they were so small. It's like the Dolphins are just a tiny football team, not tiny compared to me, but tiny compared to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You could tell that the cold weather gave the Steelers a bigger edge there. We've seen Miami struggle in the cold. Now you're going back home. I think you get a decent effort from the Dolphins here. I don't know how to rate the Dolphins with Ewers. I don't know how to rate the Bengals as constructed right now. We'll see if we get T. Higgins back. This is the game I'm shooting in the sun.
Yeah, I don't have any idea how to play this. I mean, Cincinnati, again, missing the playoffs. Burrow dealing with all this nonsense about, are you going to be here? You're not going to be here? Are you leaving us and whatever and all that? You know, it's just – and then Miami, this just seems like a last-ditch effort by a program that either is trying to keep the fan base somewhat interested or a head coach that just is clinging on to what is probably the inevitable of him getting fired, but, like, just – please don't fire me. Let's do this. Let's try something different. It was the quarterback's fault all along, right?
Well, it's the GM's fault, and he was fired already. Chris Greer already out. Like, but here's the funny part, which I will say, like, I don't think you can say this about everybody in the NFL. Mm-hmm. If Mike McDaniel gets fired, he will get a job immediately. Someone will want him as an OC. Someone will add him to their staff immediately. Like, he will not have to wait to get his next opportunity somewhere, and he could be a head coach again in a couple years. Like, this organization, as a Dolphins fan, I am allowed to say this, is a certifiable train wreck up to this point. Like, the entire tenure is trying to make Tua good with a lackluster GM who didn't spend on the offensive line for a dude that can't move. Like, it just, I don't know how to judge Mike McDaniel anymore. I have no idea if he's a good coach or not.
Atlanta and Arizona, the Atlanta Falcons are going to go on the road to the Cardinals as 2.5 to 3-point favorites. 48-48.5 is the total here in this one. Mike, look, Arizona, everyone's hurt. Like we said, they had to throw – now Bam Knight is on the IR, all of this. Does look like Harrison might come back. I'll tell you what I did. The only thing is tried and true is they let Jacoby Brissett sit back there and throw it 45 times a game. His pass total, his pass number is very high at like 242.5. I played the over anyway. I played the over anyway. They're not going to be able to run it at all. They have no running backs, whatever. They're going to let him throw it 40, 45 times. He finds a way to get it done. McBride's still amazing. Wilson's emerging. Harrison maybe is back. I don't really care if he's back or not. It's just a volume play here. So I played the over on the passing yards.
I will probably be on some Michael Wilson passing props. I will probably be on some McBride over reception yards. I am on the over pretty aggressively here. 48 is too low. Let's just be honest. This is an offense in Arizona that's going to chuck the ball. They can't run it at all. This is an offense in Atlanta that has players to be able to take advantage of a very bad Cardinal offense. We may get Drake London back in this game. I doubt it, but he is at least being relisted on the injury report, is possibly going to play. We'll see what happens there. But like, Bijan should have a big day. Pitts should have a big day. Mooney should be able to have a decent day against this Arizona secondary. On the other side, look, the Cardinals just move the football against everybody. They moved against Houston last week. You think they're not going to move it against the Falcons this week? Give me the over 48.
Jacksonville's on the road at Denver, which actually might be the game of the week. No offense to the Packers and Bears, but two teams as
or the Rams
hot,
and Seahawks.
Yeah, two teams of the main slate. Definitely Rams and Seahawks if we're talking like the Thursday night, but yes, of the main slate. Look, two teams as hot as there are in all the NFL. 3-point favorites, Denver at home, 46.5 to 47. The total out there in the market. I said the stuff I said earlier. That's a different defense. I understand. Trevor Lawrence, last 3 weeks, number top graded quarterback, top EPA quarterback, 9 big time throws to 0 turnover worthy plays. The defense is number 2 in the NFL behind only the Seahawks since week 10. Denver, as you mentioned, defense has kind of slacked a little bit, but the offense has picked up and Bo Nix has actually been playing at a fairly high level. Fascinating, fascinating game. Game of the week for me personally, because again, two teams, like I said, I had such trouble trying to rate this week.
Yeah, this is going to be a great game. I do not have any bets on the side or total yet. It would be Jags plus 3 or pass for me at current. I've not gotten in the account because I want to dive a little bit more deeper into it. Did play
real
Jacoby
quick,
Myers.
Real quick. There's 115s out there, right? If this is 3.5, are you smashing the button?
It's
okay.
Jags.
Okay.
I'm not smashing it, but I will be hitting the Jags at 3.5. Not a monster play, but it does end up in the account. I already played Jacoby Myers over 54.5 receiving yards. This is like, I do think that the Jags are going to have to throw the football to be able to move it. I do think that you have the ability to move it against CB2, CB3 inside this offense. And Myers is going to run a lot in the slot. I think that's going to give him positive matchups here. You're going to see a lot of Brian Thomas Jr. on the outside. He's going to get a lot of Pat Surtain. That means that this is going to be one of those spots where, again, Jacoby Myers able to make Trevor Lawrence look very good. Since Jacoby Myers came to this team, Trevor Lawrence, number one rated quarterback, that he has made the difference here, because all of a sudden you have a steady target that runs the right route, that gets open, that catches the football, something the Jags were missing. I think that continues here against the Broncos.
Again, guys, tons and tons of breakdowns of all these games on Saturday, but we'll end the talk here. We don't really need to talk Vegas and Houston. We'll end the talk here with Pittsburgh and Detroit. Mike, this is 6.5 or 7, a juiced 6.5 or a 110-7 out there, 51.5 to 52, the prevailing total. Pittsburgh looking up, leading the division yet again. Lions fighting for their playoff lives.
I don't know what to do with this Pittsburgh team. It's Lions or pass for me. And I kind of agree with your sentiment that if the Lions win this game, they win by like 14.
Yeah.
They just blow the doors off Pittsburgh. Rodgers can't do anything. Metcalf should have a good game because there's no secondary. If they want to throw it deep to him, I don't know if they're going to do it. They don't do it every game. So we'll see what happens there. But I like the Lions.
Yeah, man, it's just so tough for me. I mean, the juice 6.5, there's only one left out there. I feel like I should get it before it's gone. I mean, there is obviously a nice difference in 6.5 and 7.
I think it's Wednesday. Let's wait and see if 6.5 becomes the prevailing number. This is a Steelers team that has taken money. Like, let's see if that becomes the number. And you don't need to jump on a bad 6.5. Like, there's not a conviction in your voice right now. So let's just wait. Well, if you get a better number.
Well, the 6.5s are all been bought up. Like, they were already there, and now they've gone to 7. So just, I don't know. It doesn't sit great with me, but, you know, whatever. Maybe Dustin will have a play on this game. We'll be taking over for us here. Dustin Swedelson on the desk for cashing out. Of course, you can wake up tomorrow morning to Dave and Jensen as well here. Our full breakdowns of everything, including the contest show on Saturday for Mike IMAC. Good luck on all your bets.